遥か遠くに浮かぶ星を思い眠りにつく君の選ぶ未来が望む道がどこへ続いていても共に生きるから、ずっと昔の記憶連れられ
Hello and welcome back to Oops More Anime, the podcast where we literally, truthfully, utterly cannot stop watching anime. I'm Alan Ibrahim from Chats and Scanline Media.
I've made an agreement that means I can't. I'm Six Detmar from Scanline Media.
You've made a blood pact, Six, and we're back to discuss Gundam together.
You best start believing in...
almost
getting ready to wrap up for the finale. You're it.
You're about to be in one?
Sure.
This is the not penultimate, but penultimate episode, I think. Is it 12 or 13?
This is episode 10 that we're...
I know, but is the core going to be 12 or 13?
It's 12.
Okay, then this is the penultimate episode of the first core of Witch for Mercury.
It's the penultimate.
Exactly.
And then you Google penultimate and it's the penguin from, yeah,
Evangelion. There should be a whole manga about Pen, I think. That'd be fun. Anyways, you want to talk about Gundam? My brain goes like into deep space when we do that. That's kind of fun wherever I go.
I'm going to say it's optional. You know, we can talk about
Gundam. It's optional to talk about Gundam.
Yeah.
My roommate, literally, who's watching with me, forgot that we watched episode 9. It hasn't even... I mean, it's been a little bit more than a week for us because we watched it on, like, different days of the week. But they were like, oh, was that the episode where, like, they... like, it was, like, a 5v5 and then they won? I was like, yeah, that was literally last week. He's like, did we watch that? You remember it, so clearly you did. And now we're here for episode 10 to talk about our circling thoughts. That's why we're circling around the topic tonight, folks. Because the episode's called Circling Thoughts. And I'm doing the summary this time, so wish me luck as I attempt to improvise based on my notes. I really should have written something, but I didn't, because Mr. Zanelli Sr. is on trial, and him and Guel's dad are planning to kill Delling, Miss Miorine's father.
You she's really on a should trip. Have. You're already just joking, my man.
Okay.
He's not on trial, and he doesn't want to kill Delling.
Okay. This is your summary to do now.
Nope.
I've abdicated. You just abdicated it.
Okay. All right.
You can't be like Louis the 16th. You're a fuckboy. There are better kings out there.
You said two facts, and they were both wrong.
I know. I didn't plan. I watched the episode like 20 minutes ago. Please do
the summary.
For the
first
time? I'm
choking,
and I need your help. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not 20 minutes ago, before I watched the thing I was telling you about earlier, but
sure,
yeah,
sure.
Please,
okay.
Give me a good summary.
Saria Zelling, the senior Zelling, tries again to get aerial bands, and they won't. The Bennett group won't do it, and he's pissed about
it. Oh, that seemed like a trial. It's not a trial. Okay.
Right. So he goes back to his plane, and Vim Jeterik is waiting for him, and he's like, let's have a cheers, I'm gonna kill Delling, and Saria's is like, you're a fucking idiot.
That's a bad idea. Why is that a bad idea? Doesn't he want that?
I think he just thinks it won't work.
Oh,
like,
sure.
He's like, this is a bad idea. Like, if Delling were just dead, that'd be great. But the way this is going to go down is going to be a mess.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it seems like we've had a bit of a time skip, about 2 months. Suletta mm-hmm. is... I'm burping. sorry.
Wow.
Suletta is falling behind on duels because Ariel has been out doing repairs and then like a sales tour, like showing people like, here's our tech, invest in Gund. Miorine has been gone for about 2 weeks herself, off, you know, doing a bunch of sales meetings and then meeting with her dad. Those meetings are going actually surprisingly well, and we see Delling still being sort of a gruff asshole, but at least supportive of Miorine and trying to help with her company, which is Miorine very taken aback. The students of Earth House have very much settled into the routines of doing Gund work, and they are, in fact, preparing and testing prostheses for medical examination and licensing. Meanwhile, over in you know, just space generally, Gwell has run away from home, and he has taken over a new role as a manual laborer named Bob.
I thought that this was the job that his dad sent him to go do.
No, he wouldn't be Bob then.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
And also, wow. They're like, hey, we're going to go do something with the Benneret Group. And he, like, freezes up. And they're like, what, you have a thing about the Benneret Group? And he's like, no, I definitely don't.
No, not at all.
No, he super ran away.
Gotcha. Okay, great. For him.
On Earth, we see two teenage girls living in a destroyed school. One of them is watching the ad for the Gundarm Corporation and is fairly snide about it. They are both soldiers for the Dawn of Fold, which is a Earth insurgent group that Shadik is contracting. Apparently, this is what Nika has had her connection over, is that this group, she has connections to this group, and it is through them and Shadik that she managed to go to school in the first place. She doesn't seem super happy about all this. Shadik is like, hey, I actually think this, like, idea to kill Delling is great, because if you do the math, if anyone else were the holder whenever Delling died, then they would become majority stockholder of the Benneret Group because of their company shares plus Mjörinae's. But Suleta doesn't have basically any fucking shares, and so she is the one person where this won't happen. Let's go along with this plan. Let's kill Delling. And let's break up the Benneret Group. Finally, Alon returns, but this is Alon 5. Alon 5 is a aggressive womanizer. Tries to capitalize on this, makes some very assertive moves towards Mjörinae, who is at first is sort of on board because she's like, hey, it's Alon, I'm happy to see Alon, but very quickly gets the vibes that this is not like the same person, even if she doesn't literally know that, freaks out and runs away. Mjörinae is back, and she's sort of flubbing her relationship with Suleta, and Suleta gets really upset. And finally, we see that Lady Prospera is waiting at the plant where they're going to attack Delling.
Plant Quetta.
Yes. Also, after the credits, we see the Dawn of Fold sees the transport ship that Gwell is working on their way to Plant Quetta.
Ah, shit, I did not see the post-credits.
Oh, yeah.
Gasp. Good to know.
There's a really sweet part on that. Like, I didn't put it in my notes, but it's like, Gwell is just doing his job. He's handing out, like, lunchboxes, right? And he gets a lunchbox to his boss, and his boss is like, you know, why were you so slow? And Gwell's like, sorry.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, make sure you eat yourself. We're gonna have work to do, and you should take care of yourself. And like Gwell's face lights up, like this is the first time anyone has shown concern about me in my life. And he's like almost about to. He's like, it's so sad, poor boy. So
such a sweetie.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. There's like 2 minutes of scene. I'll have to watch this later then.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff. I liked this episode, I think.
Yeah, this is a good episode. I feel like there are a few things that I have to sort of detach my brain about, but like it's mostly just, you know, consequences of previous things they've done and said, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I'm having trouble believing that Earth House could suddenly be on the cutting edge of like medical science, right? But it's like, it's anime. Get over it. I wouldn't make this criticism about, like, any other anime. I only would about this one because I've been pissed about how they've been handling things so far. So I should be fair about this, you know?
I do know. And I love small time skips. I think that they can do a lot to, like, amplify people's stress without changing their situation in life. Mm-hmm. So I think two months is perfect for Suleta to be like, what the fuck is this relationship? It's like she's starting to wake up a little bit. And the show really needed that. We've said it over and over again, but like, she's not waking up to the like horrors of what she's doing or how she's being manipulated in a big way. But she's at least starting to actively realize, oh, Mjörinae and our relationship together, especially after Alon talks to her, she realizes, oh, maybe this relationship isn't just like doughy romantic niceness. Maybe I'm being used a little bit, or maybe I'm not useful. Maybe I'm useless. I'm not like the lifesaver that I thought I was.
Mm-hmm.
It was great seeing Suletta be a character. That was honestly one of my favorite things about this episode, was her being like, oh shit, and dropping the little keychain after Miorine's like, yep, I basically just made you redundant. We have another pilot now, so I don't even need you to pilot if you don't want to, which like, yeah, we as an outsider know from Miorine's perspective, that's just like responsible business. But Suletta feels way less useful and thusly kind of betrayed by all of this.
But and they also,
it's interesting.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I also think they do such a good job of setting up the, like, I feel like if this scene had just happened, like, that, like, you know, in an episode that chronologically directly followed the last one, I would be objecting, because Miorine is not, like, I'm not going to say Miorine is super great at reading people's emotions, right? I think she is kind of callous and like, oblivious in ways, but not so oblivious she wouldn't notice that Suletta's upset here. But she's just coming back from 2 weeks of nonstop boardrooms. And so she's just locked in business brain, and she can't get out of it. And so, like, you know, even the part where she's like, oh, and we've got another pilot, so there's a bit of a load, less of a load on you. And so Suletta's like, so you're saying I'm not, you don't need me anymore? And Suletta, and like Miorine just autopilot, is like, huh, yeah, I guess that's a way of putting it. It's like, not thinking, like, that's not what she's trying to say, but she's like, huh, I mean, I guess you could phrase it that way.
Exactly. Like, it makes perfect sense when you're just looking at numbers that, like, yeah, whatever. And even if you're trying to be nice, you're thinking, okay, like, Suletta doesn't have to stress herself out anymore. Other people can do this work. But for her, it's like, that was my one job. That's my one talent in this company, besides being charming, is, like, piloting the suit. And you've taken that away from me,
mm-hmm.
or made me less, not the only person who can do it. That's great.
And, like, I think I connect a lot with Miorine here, because I feel like, one, I definitely do the thing where when I've been working a bunch and I've been doing, like, even if it's not, like, my job, right? Like, if I have days where between my job and, like, Scanline, I am doing a bunch of, like, arranging things with guests and stuff, and then I talk to a friend, I have to struggle not to go into that mode, you know? Where I'm like, oh, sure, let's work out the logistics of this. I'm like, no, this is my fucking friend. Let's stop being a robot for a second.
Well, good comparison, though. Like, you just signed off of work, too, or, like, you're eating with family over dinner.
Yeah.
And you're trying to, like, not optimize dinner. You're trying to just, like, be a person again.
And, I mean, another thing about it is just the family side of it, right? Because she has on her mind all this business stuff. She's in a different mode. But also, she's just been hanging out with her dad, and her dad was kind of cool. And not like, he was still, you know, like a blunt asshole, right? He was still like very curt, but he was helping her. And the whole time in those scenes, she is literally standing there with her mouth open. Like, what is happening?
Yeah. It is both the, like, coming out from work, and also, like, you moved out recently, but you spent like a weekend with your family, and you're like, oh God, what is it like being normal around people my age again? Like, I've been with my dad. And again, like, how complicated Miorine's relationship with her father is. I don't mean to just, like, underline what you're saying, but, like, this is the meat and potatoes of the episode. Is, like, Suletta getting some balls.
I also think you might be able to personally, like, have some insight here, because it's like, Miorine moved out from her parents, and now she's coming back for her visit, and she's being like, oh, this was good for my parents, too.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, actually getting to see them and work with them and talk to them does good things for that relationship. And then the transition back is, like, really real. I just had this with Thanksgiving. That's why it's, like, on my mind.
Right.
It's like, oh, I guess I actually make food for myself. And it was only, for me, it was only 2 nights. And I already was, I was Suletta Forgetta. She says in the episode. You just, like, forget how to act like you do independently. And then you visit them again, and it happens again. Like, it's just a loop, right? It's a really challenging thing that a lot of people have dealt with, especially at, like, Miorine's age. Like, I'm old for this, but she's, like, at the age where that's starting to happen more.
Yeah.
And watching her not code switch, but, like, change the way she thinks about people and remembering to empathize, because she's, like, generally not extremely friendly or intimate with Suletta, but she listens and talks to her and like kind of plays along with her games. They ride scooters together. And for her to come back and be like, all right, so I replaced you. It's like, oh, fuck, who are you? Who is this again? What's our relationship?
And, like, I even think you kind of have put your finger on something, which is I think with Miorine, it's not like she's, like, her tone and things, she's not more friendly with Suleta. If anything, I think she's more harsh, but Suleta is able to understand that harshness is a kind of affection, is concern.
Yeah. And it's what makes it like dramatically satisfying is it's like any good like dramatic TV, right? Aelon telling her, hey, or the clone of Aelon 5, whatever, being like, you know that you're useless, right? And it's not in the bullying shitty way. It's in the like, hey, between you and me, as people who like, at least from Suleta's side, we seem to have a good relationship. We're not that useful to them. They can kind of get by without us, and you're going to start noticing that more now that she's, like, formed a company. You're just another employee at her company, and even you being married to her is just so that she doesn't have to worry about getting married. Like, you know Suleta's been thinking about stuff like that.
Yeah.
And as soon as somebody verbalizes that, oh, boy, all the thoughts come bubbling to the surface. It's very juicy in a way that the show has honestly not been at all, really.
Yeah.
And in a way that matters, at least so far. Like, it doesn't, like, end the episode and then we don't hear about it. It already is affecting the storyline here. Because, like, earlier in the episode, right before all of this happens, we get some, like, very charming scenes where Suleta is telling Nika, like, oh, I tell a joke and make everyone laugh was on my list. And I got everybody to joke because about, like, we're making the new PR video and all that. Or another thing on her list is she wants to give somebody that she likes a keychain or a good friend of hers. And that's why her dropping the keychain in front of Miorine is like so emotional. She was still like 10 minutes ago was the Suleta that we know to be very ignorant and like pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's watching it crumble in front of her and realizing that other people aren't like that.
It is a horrible keychain though.
It's kind of cheapo to me.
And like, it's just like a dude with a caved in face. I don't know. I don't like it.
No, I did. My roommate picked up on it's red and blue.
Uh-huh.
And when Nika sees it first, she goes like, oh, that's so cute. Who are you going to give it to? She's like, oh, I'm going to give it to Miorine. And she goes, oh, yeah. All right. That's really good, Suleta. There's a part where he was like, does she want it? Her hair is blue. This actually matches better if they're girlfriends. Hold on.
Oh, I was thinking it was like, I thought the hesitation on her part was like, yeah, no, she'll definitely like it. It's kind of ugly, Suleta.
It's an avocado. Thanks. Throws it away. Yeah, Nika also really, really interesting in this episode. I think that's actually my favorite scene was Sophie and Nerea on Earth with that old guy.
Mm-hmm.
Is his name Naji? I didn't get his name down.
I think that's right, yes.
Because we've known that Nika has like something going on with all of this. And doesn't somebody say like, that's your father figure when she like picks up on the phone. Shadi says that.
Yeah, Shadi says like you know like your like pseudo father or whatever says hi.
That's so interesting. That's so good.
Yeah.
It kind of invalidates the buyout thing earlier, but like this is a riskier plan. The buyout was supposed to be like a safe plan, and now they're going to more desperate measures. If he kills Deling,
I feel like I'm like lost. What do you mean? What buyout? What buyout plan?
Well, like in an episode ago when Shadik was like, I'm going to buy your company and then give myself Ariel. Now it's like, I will kill your dad. We will have somebody kill your dad so that your shares go to us and then we own your company, basically.
I don't think that's what I think what he says is he's trying to kill the group. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, I mean, I guess in a way you're right, which is like, I think what's happening here is he's like, hey, I don't think I'm going to be able to take over the Benneret group. So I think my best play here is to destroy the Benneret group. And at that point, Gundarm and Shinsei and all this stuff is like just other rival companies. And I can just buy them up because that's how shares work.
Yes. No, that's more what it is.
Okay.
And like, I'm just referring to it differently, but it is crucial that it's not just a buyout. It's like we're going to dissolve them. And then we will have control of that company and be able to take over more companies.
That makes sense. I hadn't thought that far ahead. I was still just like, I thought it was, you know, it's just like, because Vim Jeterc is such a fucking meathead, every time where he's just like, we're going to, it's like, I have a surprise for you. And you're like, you come home and you turn the lights and there's a banner and everyone's there with party poppers and he's like, we're going to kill Delling. And you're like,
oh,
this is every surprise. Your surprise is always we're going to kill Delling.
It's always this. What do you mean surprise? It's not a surprise anymore, Dad. Well, the reason is that like shareholder buyout stuff was on my mind, though, was we get a little bit of the Delling Miarine meeting or one of their meetings. And it's a lot of like financial jargon. The way I understood it with my now almost official MBA, by the way, I'm fucking finished my last assignment. I'm proud of myself.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you, pal. I don't usually like to toot my own horn, but that was 2 years of my life, so I have to. He recommends she dilutes her shareholder ratio, potentially through a capital investment plan, which basically means dilute your stock so that in case something like a buyout happens, your stuff is not too valuable anyways, and that it doesn't all go to one person. So I like to think that reads, if you're really paying attention, like Delling knows that something big is going to happen with their companies, and she needs a contingency plan. He's also telling her to like keep investing.
Yeah, it sounds like from the context of the scene, what he's worried about is like, listen, you are like, you have done the work of establishing, here's Gundarm, here's what we do. You're about to come out and say, and here are our prosthetic legs. And so far you've been advertising based on Gundam Aerial, and your stank is Your stock is going to tank because people thought they were investing in Aerial and they're investing in legs. And
prosthetic legs.
It'll go back up, but momentarily it will tank, and that's a buyout opportunity for someone.
Right. I think that's super interesting and also easily going over the head of 90% of the teenagers watching the show.
Sure.
It's like surprisingly jargony, which I'm fine with. I think it's also like pretty important for young people to know how this stuff works because you read about it in the news all the time and it's like, oh, why do buyouts happen? Well, sometimes buyouts aren't because like one company wanted to use the products of another one. It's just like they're thinking four steps ahead through bullshit capitalist chess. And it's all bad.
Stock market is so wild. Like, first of all, it is just gambling, and we make it legal because it's for rich people, right? But also just the element of like, oh, what is a stock? It is literally ownership of a company, right? You are selling like percentages of the rights to the company, and if someone buys enough of them, like. When you make your debut and you sell stock, you are just like. It's a fairly safe gamble, but you're just gambling that no one person is going to buy enough of them that they now own you. You're gambling that like we're selling them to a bunch of people and they won't agree, so we'll be okay. If one person bought them all, or if a bunch of people agreed, congratulations, it's not your company anymore. It's so stupid.
It's completely stupid. And it's all fake, and it's important to acknowledge that because it affects so much of the business world is rich people share throwing money back and forth and being like, I guess this is quote unquote yours. I guess it's quote unquote mine. Okay, handshake, agreed. You own a company now. It's like when I first learned that, like really, when people say that, you know, Elon Musk, just because he's in the news a lot, like he's worth X billion dollars. The dude doesn't have that in his bank. Nobody has it in their bank because no one bank will let you do that. I'm sure he has several billion, but like probably 60% of that, if not more, depending on who you're talking about, is just in stocks, which are all speculative. It's all fucking fake, dude. Like no one actually has this value. Well, it's all shake handshakes.
And it's also like contracts and stuff, right? Like there was a recent thing with Kanye West, which, you know, that's a whole mess. Yeah. And I hope he gets some help, right?
Yeah.
But like he started making some really disgusting, fucked up anti-Semitic comments. And literally overnight, it was like, oh, he used to be worth, you know, $700 million, and now he's worth $30 million. He didn't, like, people didn't rob his bank. A bunch of people canceled contracts with him, and that counts as money. The fact that a contract has been signed and now is like been torn up lost you $100 million in your quote unquote net worth. It's wild.
And that's a non-liquid asset. Like, there are, like, liquid assets, which is, like, cash that belongs to you. Mm-hmm. But also, if you really wanted to dig into this, and I don't, even the money that's in your bank account doesn't belong to you. I'm sorry to break it to you. But you are you are agreeing with the bank to say that you have this much money. You do not. Mm-hmm. Hell, even if you own a dollar, all of it's decided value. I hate to break it to you. If you own a dollar, like a physical green dollar, that's just because everyone in the world agreed that that means something. It's actually just paper.
You got to get into gold.
Yeah, now that's real. Now gold bullion. Oh, God, Christ almighty. The grift, the gold bullion grift is so sad. It's so, like, predatory to old people as well. It's fucked up.
But the thing is, this is stuff that, like, we're not super qualified to fully lay out for you. You should probably know, if I'm being honest, as a human being, you should know a lot of this stuff. It's just a good thing to know in society. Mm-hmm. You don't need to know it for this show, because this is, like, you mentioned, like, this is kind of going over the heads of, like, a teenage audience. The reason they feel comfortable doing that is because none of this is going to come to pass, because what they're doing in this episode is all, like, okay, there has been a short time skip. We're going to set up a new norm so we can destroy it. So we can throw it into chaos.
Yeah, we're building a house so that we can knock it down as well.
Mm-hmm.
The house, the contents of the house don't matter. What was that?
I said WWE in your house.
Oh, okay. Just making sure that's what you said.
I never actually watched WWE in your house, but what I believe they were is they were pay-per-views where they would like either probably they would buy. I don't know the exact logistics. But basically, they would buy like half-built like houses that like. They were, like, cheapo building a house, and then they were like, oh, shit, the contract fell through or whatever, right? And they would buy them and hold a wrestling event there so they could just destroy the houses they wrestled.
What? And they brought it back for COVID on NXT?
That sounds right.
Cool. Okay. This is weird. It has to do with, like, a lower-cost pay-per-view because people were not buying the big paper. Interesting. Okay.
I think that's
right. The logo
right.
is pretty great,
by the way. I am perfectly prepared for it to be like, no, you are like either conflating things or just completely wrong about this.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
But
that's like me summarizing the episode. Did you notice, by the way, that Shadiq, we confirmed, is an adopted orphan?
Oh, we've confirmed that several times.
Oops.
Sorry, friend.
Deleting that from my notes. Deleting it from my brain. Did you like the joke about how it's hard to film prosthetic legs in a small location, so they need a big room? That was so weird and specific and funny that they're like, all right, we rented out a space to film the like the PR video. And they're like, we can't. It's not big enough. What do you mean? The legs are too tall.
So we need to run around. We can't just show them like going up and down stairs exclusively. Yeah.
Right. We can't do the sexy lady thing where we just pan up the legs and go, wah, 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 wah.
I mean.
That's not a PR video.
Are you sure?
It is for someone. I mean, our anime feet.
These legs aren't sexy enough. You gotta for that to get there. Their feet don't really have like toes, right? They're just sort of like block feet, which is like fine for an early level prosthetic. But if you want to do this sexy video, you definitely need toes.
It's the Patrick from SpongeBob legs meme. It's he's got like the big thigh, the big socks and stockings, or big boots and stockings.
Oh, I see. Yeah, sure. Sure.
We gotta get six deep into the SpongeBob fandom, like. ASAP.
Oops, so more anime.
My bad jokes. Oops, way more anime. Like, way more. Can we talk a little bit more about Sophie and Nerea, please? I know there's, like, nothing there. Like, it's a minute long. But that's so cool. We finally got to see Earth. We saw Earth. That's a guy. There's a guy. He works there.
Well, you get to see more in this after credits thing because they're the pilots of the Lefrith Thorn and the Lefrith Ur, which are two gunpla we got to see before the show even came out. Like, this is one of those things, like, and they're like, here are these two mobile suits. And we're watching the show like, okay, are they ever going to show up, boy?
Are we going to see them, or are they just talk about them? What's the deal there? Yeah.
So I could get you some links to these gunpla.
Ooh, the lift. I think they talk about the lift in the prologue, maybe.
Right. These are, so contextually, it seems like what these probably are scrapped lift units that have been sort of repurposed. But, you know, details are, of course, not particularly clear. We get to see these two suits, like, point guns at Gwell's ship. That's all.
Jeez, March 2023. Oh, I kind of want the Lifrith Thorn. I don't like the color.
Oh, I like the way better. But I also am a sucker for any kind of, like, if you ever have a Gatling gun, I'm in. basically.
The Yadlingun's the best part of it, no doubt. I just like the non-traditional back of the thorn in the shoulders. Ugh, stop. This is not making any stingy. Wait. That scene where Miorine is being interviewed by the news and they're like, how's your company? And she's like, we are doing really well. I think that we're going to do great. Except she's not Suleta. She's not just like fucking Ariel good, I guess. She's actually really smart. And that whole scene is all the other Earth House people being like, damn, we are, our boss is fucking much smarter than all of us, isn't she?
And they're like, and then, and they're like, ha ha ha, Suleta, you know, like, she's like, you're out of your league, ha ha ha. No, seriously, she's going to leave you.
Yeah, this is like immediately followed up by the Elon scene. So this is, it's just the 1-2 punch for Suleta of like, oh geez, I'm not good enough for my hot smart girlfriend, am I? You're fine. You're fine. So it's nice that sometimes you just want like a nice, wholesome lesbian girlfriend. That's fine.
And like, when was the last time a Gundam show handled the relationship as being the core tension? Like,
yeah,
I have gone back and forth on this about like how I feel they're handling it. Right. But like, the main tension of this is like, I mean, I guess you could say maybe it's the Delling stuff, right?
Yeah.
But it is debatable. Whereas like the last time, it's like what even was the last like thing that was anywhere near this? Like, you get to see like what, like Kira yelling at like fucking his, what turns out to be his sister, even though they're positioning her as a love interest at first, which is really uncomfortable in Seed. And like, oh right, you didn't watch Seed. Shit. Anyway, not even a moment. Like, it's just like punctuation on scenes. It's never like what an episode is about or what an episode even tries to treat as important. And that's like the closest we've gotten. That's the most like soap opera Gundam has been in ages. I mean, like, you look at back at Zeta and you just have like the, not even the tertiary, like what of the, like the sixth tier plot is like, oh, by the way, Fa's mad at Camille. Doesn't matter, the show doesn't care, but you know. Yeah,
and it's the truth is the character stuff is what brings you back. Like, I'll never forget, is it the end of Zeta or like early, maybe mid double Zeta, where Camille is being brought up by her and like everyone's like introduced and it's like, oh my god, these people had such a relationship with each other, I care about them knowing each other, and they had like a friendship and a relationship, it was real. It's not just about fighting and fucking business deals.
And, like, I've been playing off and on Super Robot Wars 30, and Camille and Fa are in that. And it's Camille, like, post-Double Zeta, where he has recovered. And so it's just, it's like him, like, hang out and being like, you know, like, I was kind of, you know, lost to the psychic maelstrom there, but I wasn't completely unaware. And I really am grateful to you, Fa, and I'm so sorry. And it's like, wow. It hit me, you know?
That's fantastic.
Camille's such a good boy, and he's finally learning about to value the people around you, not take them for granted. Makes me want to cry.
No, seriously, that sounds awesome. And like, they're getting there. They're setting these up also as characters that like, if they don't resolve this conflict in the show, in extra media, we can see more of like Suleta and Miorine and fill those things in.
I'm sorry. I'm just realizing because of how that goes in Super Robot Wars, like, eventually we're going to have a Super Robot Wars with these characters in it. And you're going to have like Suleta being like, does Miss Miorine not care about me? And then Lelouch from Code Geass is going to be like, cheer up, Suleta.
Cheer up. It's going to be okay. You can talk to me about anything. Huh? Thank you,
Lelouch. Lelouch V. Britannia commands you. Have confidence in your wife.
Cut to Suleta. No confidence! Fucking die. We killed six with that bit.
Super Robot Wars is so funny.
Yeah. It sounds great.
Okay.
In the background, fucking the girl from Macross is just singing. She's belting. They're like, what's going on?
My boyfriend is a pilot.
I didn't have any other big stray notes. I thought that Elon scene was very creepy. I just love that this random dude sits in the woods. And this is like the second time that Elon has been in the woods, or an Elon has been in the woods, and been like, hey, Suleta, guess what? What's going on?
Slid out from behind a tree.
You goblin. You're like a fucking goblin. It goes in for the kiss. He's like, she hates you. You know who doesn't hate you? It's like, oh, God, God.
I feel like my...
The phrasing from the old woman, by the way, is that he has, quote, a personality as wicked as the original.
But, I mean, and this is just, like, how you say this in Japanese, but the Japanese is seikoku wari desu, which is, like, his personality sucks.
He sucks like you suck, basically.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Another thing, like, I am not necessarily, like, saying this is bad, but it does make me a little sad that this is, like, I think this is doing what, I like what this is doing, right? I think this episode's really good, and I like what it's doing for the show. I am a little sad the show isn't a little more non-traditional, because I had a moment where I let myself imagine where, like, Suletta is like, yeah, you're right, Alon, and they become, like, an evil power couple for a while, and that just can't happen in this show.
Oh, man.
But just imagine, you're like, oh no, Suletta's got black eyeliner now and she's evil.
God damn it, I can see it. She's like in a darker mobile suit too.
And they just give her like a witch's hat and a dress.
Yeah. Leaning way into it. Lean too much into it.
Yeah. But sadly, I mean, not gonna happen. Mm-mm. Will they
but
give...
that's the stuff.
Okay. When Ariel gets the upgrade, are they going to give it, like, it's got the wand bits. Are they going to give it some sort of broom? Is it going to ride on a broom?
Oh, fuck. Halloween episode, Halloween special.
It's like a Mega Rider, but, you know, it's a broom.
But it's a broom. Oh, Mega Rider, ikimasu. What was I going to say? Oh, this episode felt short to me, and now knowing that there was a post-credit sequence, I understand why.
Mm-hmm.
The ending is very sudden. I was, like, writing in my notes, like, oh, we're at Plant Keta, okay. Oh, Deli meeting with Lady Prosper. Oh, the episode's over. No. That was weird.
Oh.
It ends very suddenly.
I guess just to confirm, they sort of hint it during the episode, but since you didn't see the post-credit thing, those two girls are witches.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yep.
They were way... anime brain. They were way too well-designed to not be important.
And way too catty about the concept of gun arm. So.
Exactly. They had some sort of vested interest in the whole thing. Are they Nika's sister? If he's her dad,
I mean, I assume they're also adopted, but
yeah,
I think it's Ooh. A whole adopted family.
Sorry, I almost choked on my spit for a sec. are all of the kids of Earth House at least like? Hold on, what's the witch from Final Fantasy VIII? Enchant the witch.
My brain, I feel like I'm really close to it. My brain just goes La Brea. No,
that's it.
Wrong.
Edea.
There it is. There was.
They're all Adea's kids. They're all like one evil lady.
I just put it together. No, I don't think that's right. Because okay. We see that like
they're all Lady Prosper's kids.
We see that Choo Choo is like from a different group, right? Remember the workers that were like FaceTiming her?
Sure, but they're not her family. They could have all been like it's like the
So oh your conspiracy is that this is truly Final Fantasy VIII, and the reveal is like, no, these all had the same origin. They were sort of scattered out to different, like...
Yeah. I see. Meet each other again. They were destined to meet each other again.
I don't think that's true, but it's fun to think sweating. About.
You know it is. Yeah, of course. They could do so much. That's the best thing about Witcher Mercury is there's still so much potential, and they haven't burned all of it yet. They burned some of it, but we still got a ways to go.
Yeah. This was a really good episode, and yeah. I don't get to say that very often, so that's nice.
I know. I'm back on board. I'm fully back on board. What's the next one called? I didn't see the
The next one is called The Witches from Earth.
Oh, my God. I just skipped ahead and saw the cartoon art at the end, by the way. It's so cute.
It's very good.
Oh, I love that. The Witches from Earth. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's just going to be at the Lilith pilots. Yep.
That's so good. The show's expanding. I'm excited to watch more Gundam. Can you believe it?
I really want, though, like, there. I didn't write a note down about this, but I feel like I remember them saying that they're going to Plant Quetta to pick up some new machine that they're making, right? Mm-hmm. And I would just love it so much if it's like, oh, here's our new prototype, and it, like, Gwell has to steal it to fight them off. I am ready for Gwell to come back into the show in a real way. I love him as Bob, but I think he needs his redemption here.
No, yeah. You have Bob so that when there's like, oh, an asteroid fell on Earth or something, he's like, all right, time to go back to the old me. Like, it has to... he has to fall to rise again.
But what if his rise again is different? What if his rise again is like he steals it and he fights them off and Delling is like, I hate to say it, but you've just saved me in this company. Will you rejoin the fold? And he's like, no, my place is in construction. And he leaves the machine behind.
No, he definitely, it would be like he gets the offer and then declines it. But if it goes back to construction, like, oh, I actually like being a contractor. They're a union. Like, it's really nice. I'd be really happy for him.
Yeah. I am excited about where the show's going. I think, like, I saw some discussion among friends about, like, being frustrated with the pace of the show. But I think that's sort of, like, I haven't checked in with them much, right? And so I think it's kind of where I'm at, right, where they've been frustrated so far. I don't feel like this – I feel like this episode was clearly, like, them trying to pick up the pace.
Yeah, they're now building toward – like, by your third to last episode of a serialized story, I would hope that you're, like, getting to the finale or getting towards something. But I agree – I would agree with those people that it's been kind of, like, oddly paced. It's just now it's ramping up again in a good way.
What do you think – Lady Prospera is doing?
I mean, I do like your clone theory a lot.
Oh, but I mean, like, literally right now. At, like, she's at Plant Quetta. I mean, like, is this where, like, everyone is converging to kill Delling and she pulls out a gun and does it first? Or what?
Ooh. I think she would... I mean, I don't know. That's a really important question, though, because it determines whose side she's ultimately going to be on. Like, if she's offering him a deal... then she was originally on his side, and she's also going to be like, oh, I knew you sneaky bastards. But I think she's smarter than that. I think she probably knows something is up.
She could also die here.
Who would that motivate, though? I guess Suletta, who's already having a bad time.
I mean, like, if you as the writers are like, we feel like we've run the course on Lady Prospera's revenge plot, we feel like we've done what we want to, then the tragic move here is to kill her before Suletta learns about any of this. And then Suletta is like, I have to kill my mom, I have to avenge my mom, she did nothing wrong and y'all murdered her, and doesn't even know how much bad shit her mom's been doing behind the scenes.
That's the end of season one. We start season two. It's a year later. Suletta's got an eye patch. She's got long hair. She's got a sniper rifle. She's been, like, killing government agents everywhere looking for answers. And then end of episode, season two, episode one, she realizes, oh my god, my mom was fucking devious as hell. Whoa.
Oh, no. Okay. Actually, what we need, all right. So, Advance of Zeta reboot. Mm-hmm. Do you know about this thing?
No, but I know you like talking about it.
So, basically, it's the new story from Advance of Zeta, which is like a spinoff from like some Titan shit, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, there's Zeon on Mars called Re-Zeon, right?
Yeah.
It's ruled by a lady called Alicia Zabi.
Mm-hmm.
And Alicia Zabi has a personal guard of clones of herself.
Ooh. So she has like, oh, you're saying I'm saying
we cut to season two and there's a Suletta with an eye patch guarded by 10 Suletas that are like varying degrees of shy.
Whoa. Yeah, there's like the even more shy one. There's like the super confident, like badass one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not gonna happen. No. But what if?
No.
A girl can dream.
It's fun to imagine. Yeah. I like. For the record, everything I've seen is that the story of Advance of Zeta, especially reboot, is actually mega stupid and terrible. But I think this idea is really fun. Of like being such a self-absorbed fascist that you're like, well, clearly if I need a guard, the most elite guard I could possibly imagine is more of me.
Yeah. Who's better than me? I'll tell you who. Me.
So. Yeah, I think that's what I've got for this episode.
Same here. I'm excited to watch that post-credit scene.
Yeah.
See what happens to Goel.
We will not be back next week.
Oh, all right. They're taking another break?
Yeah, they're taking another break. We'll be back. So in 2 weeks, we'll be back for episode 11, and then there's another break. So then we'll be back another week after that for the finale.
So we're not back until 2023?
Well, no, we'll be back.
It comes out on Christmas?
Yes. It literally comes out on Christmas. So this episode is going up the 16th. The next one will be the 30th, and the one after that, I think, will be the 11th. Is that right? Is that how? No, it's 13th. Whatever.
The 36th, 13th. Yeah, 13th.
Yeah, that's right.
Great. And then we go into long hibernation. Just kidding. Then we do a lot of Jotokorum for a few months.
That would, yeah, I wanna, I definitely want to pick up the pace on the JQ. Also, the HQ, if you know what I mean. By which I mean that old trivia game.
Oh, what's Scott doing these days? He has a marketing. He was on a marketing podcast for a few months.
That's great. Good for him. Mm-hmm. Probably. Well, that's it for us here. Dylan.
Oh, my God.
I'm fucking fired.
L received.
Plus ratio. God damn it.
L plus ratio. I'm sorry. Plus fuck out of here. It's okay.
Alan, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me not getting called someone else's name on Chats at Television Podcast.
Are you sure?
Chats.
Aren't you called like? Aren't you called a different name literally at the beginning of every episode?
No, I call him a different name every episode.
But
you
but he
silly.
Also does it to you.
I guess. You know what? Yeah. Look at you paying attention more attention than I am. Chats Television Podcast, CHATC, chatspod.com, patreon.com/chatspod. What about you, Six?
You can find me on Twitter at SixDetmar, SIXDETTMAR. My DMs are open for any questions, comments, feedback about this or any other Scanline Media project. And those you can find at ScanlineMedia.com or Patreon.com/ScanlineMedia.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We hope you had a great experience with us enjoying this episode of Gundam. We'll be back. Keep on. Don't drop your cute little keychain. I don't know. Goodbye, everyone.
Peace.
Oh,